Man, it's an incredible day to be here at Worcester NAS. We're so glad you've joined us. And just to all of our graduating seniors, just a couple words of instruction for today before we dig into what we're going to talk about today. Right after service, I would love to greet you out at the Info Center. We have a gift bag, a couple gift bags for you with some gifts from us here at the church. So see me out there right after service, and also here at the end of service. Before we do that, we're going to all pray together down front here. So graduating seniors, I will invite you at the end of my message here to come down front. We'll just line across the front here. Bring your parents with you, and I'd love to pray with all of you at the end here. But it is graduation Sunday here today. I am Pastor Andrew. I'm the high school pastor here at Worcester NAS. And as I was thinking back to kind of my experience of graduation and going towards graduation, there was one thing that I remembered that really kind of bothered me, and that I remembered it started in like the beginning of junior year. Like, all of these adults in my life started asking me, well, what are you going to do after you graduate? Can anybody relate to that? And like, yes, and maybe seniors especially, it's very fresh in your minds. Like, what are you doing? Are you going to school? Are you getting a job? Are you having a family? What are you going to do? Like, right? All these questions very fast just coming at you. And I actually catch myself now doing this with my high school students. I'm like, no, they don't want to answer this question because they have no idea, right? We don't know. Like, they give an answer, and it's almost like this week I was talking to my 4-year-old niece, Avi, and I was like, Avi, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she's like, well, I want to be a hair cutter. I was like, I like that. And an astronaut, I like that too. And own my own business. I was like, Avi, we got a plan here, girl. Like, it's almost like the same thing of having that conversation with a graduating senior. And that brings me to the topic for today is the title of my message of Now What? Like, you've graduated, now what? But really, I think this question applies to all of us, no matter what our season or situation of life is. We can find ourselves asking this question of like, okay, this happened in my life, now what? What do I do next? Where do I go from here? And so I can think about some of those times in my life. Yes, when I graduated from high school, and then again when I graduated from college, saying, now what do I do? Like, I have this degree, nobody wants to hire me, what do I do? Now what? And then I got married. Can anybody give me an amen? That's a big now what? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, my wife's hand was the first to go up. Pastor, we might need to pray again here. We'll do it at the end. Yeah, thank you. And then again, like, maybe when you're laying in bed and you get bitten by a bat, you ask yourself, now what do I do? Or you're mowing a yard and you get stung by 15 ground hornets and go to the ER. You say, now what do I do? Sorry, I'm just giving some personal examples here. Those are real stories. I'll spare you the details. You can ask me later. But I think this is a real question for our graduating seniors. Like, okay, I've graduated. Some of you already had your ceremony. Some of you, it's coming up still. But where do you go from here? Now what do you do? What is your life going to look like in 5 years from now? Are you going to school? Are you getting a job? What will that job look like? What will that life look like after you finish school? What will your life look like when you get married? What will your life look like if you have a family? And so today, I just want to offer 3 simple suggestions. And by suggestions, I mean these are strong suggestions of possible answers to that question of now what should you do from this point forward. And again, I'm talking to our graduating seniors, but I'm talking to all of us because I really believe this applies. So I think the first answer to that question of now what is that you need to say yes to Jesus. And if you're getting tired of us saying that around here, I don't know what to tell you, because we're not gonna stop saying it. Because I can't think of anything better to answer this question of having a life-giving relationship with Jesus. The Bible tells us, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It's that simple. We talk about Y2J here all the time, and we teach this in our basics classes. If you haven't done those yet, man, I encourage you to sign up for those. There's more coming up soon, later this summer. We just filmed some online versions as well. man, it is this simple, just saying, I confess that Jesus died on the cross, and I believe that he died for my sins, and that he rose again is what we celebrate on Easter. Confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart. That is how you say yes to Jesus. And when you do that, this thing happens, and we receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus promises to us in John 14, 26. He said, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he is the advocate, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. So answering this question of now what, when you have this relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and he gives us this guidance that we could never find from any earthly source. No book, no blog, nothing like that. One of the ways that I've seen that in my life, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is that he just gives me the words to speak in certain situations. I'm facing a tough situation. Somebody needs prayer. Somebody has something going on. The Holy Spirit helps me. The Holy Spirit will point you in the direction that God is calling you. He will point you. He will not force you, but he will point you and guide you along that path of where God is calling you in your life. The Holy Spirit will also bring correction. The Holy Spirit will bring correction. Some of you graduating seniors, maybe you're feeling like, yes, finally, I'm an adult. Or maybe you said that a year ago because you turned 18, but you're still living in your parents' house. And trust me, I can imagine that struggle because you think you're in charge when you're 18. Yeah, you're not. It's okay. We still love you. You'll understand when you're a parent. And that's so cliche, but it's so real. Because trust me, I battled my mom for 4 years of high school. Like 2002 to 2006, there's so many war stories I could tell you, but not today. But you're used to having your parents correct you, but when you have this relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit corrects you. When you're in line with him, and then you're doing something that's outside of God's will, he brings correction to you. And also the Holy Spirit brings comfort, and he brings peace when things get difficult. That comes from that relationship with Jesus. And really kind of a secondary part when we talk about saying yes to Jesus is when we say yes to Jesus, we declare that he is our Savior. I'm turning from my sins. I'm giving up my past. But really there's a second part of that of saying, okay, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life. And it's really the ultimate yes. I remember Paul and Glow did something for our 21 Jumpstart. And we named their talk the ultimate yes. And I just talked to Paul this morning. He just talked about he was saved and he went down to the altar again and kind of had the second work happening that we would call entire sanctification. We talk about this in basis class too. But it's really just that ultimate, okay, I'm giving you the blank check of my life. And Jesus, I am fully surrendered to you as my Savior, but as my Lord. I want your will to be done in my life. Your will in my life. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thinking of ourselves as being crucified with Christ, that's pretty intense, but it's just that image of complete and total surrender. How do you answer the question of now what? You fully surrender your life to Jesus. And when we give him that blank check, he is faithful. Can anybody say amen to that? He is faithful every single time, no matter the circumstance, no matter what you're going through. I've talked about this a lot, thinking over the last several years of being in youth ministry and just telling the students that, like, man, like, I know this might not sound like this matters to your life now, but there's going to come a time when you're going to need to remember this truth. And I want you to remember this truth, that he is faithful in every situation, in every circumstance, when we are in right relationship with him. So that's the first answer. Say yes to Jesus. And that's not just a one-time thing. Before I move on to my second point, this saying yes to Jesus, yes, happens in a moment, but it also happens over the span of a lifetime. It's waking up every single morning, like Pastor's been saying recently, waking up with the Bible beside your bed and going to sleep in the same place, saying, okay, Jesus, today I'm saying yes to you. At lunchtime, Jesus, I'm saying yes to you. When temptation comes your way, Jesus, I'm saying yes to you in every situation. So that's the first thing. Say yes to Jesus. Man, if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to do that today. Number two, invest in relationships. That's the second answer. Invest in relationships. In Matthew chapter 22, we find this really interesting story of Jesus, and he was out, he was doing his teaching and his ministry, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were basically the religious elite that thought they were all that, they were trying to trap Jesus and get him to trip up. And so they ask him this question in chapter 22, this is around verse 35. They said, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment of the law of Moses?" And there's this thing in the Old Testament called the Shema, which is what Jesus is about to repeat. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Like, that was the answer. That was the right answer. And Jesus actually knew that. And he's like, "I was there at creation. I was there throughout the whole Old Testament. Like, you can't trip me up." So he answers that way. You must love the Lord your God. And he says, "This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor is not negotiable. Jesus uses this word commandment. It is a commandment to love your neighbor. So who is your neighbor? How do you invest in those relationships? Your family is your, it would fall under that terminology, the people that are the closest to you, your close friends, the people at Walmart, anybody? Maybe some conviction there. The person at work that drives you crazy. Who is your neighbor? I sound like Mr. Rogers right now. Careful. I'll sing the song. I'm not scared. Not right now. Not right now. I'll do it later for you. This is what I've learned thinking about investing in relationships. Time is the most valuable resource that we have in life. And I guarantee you that you will never regret spending your time on investing in relationships with other people and with God. And I mess this up in my life. When I went to college at Malone University, I was rooming with my best friend, Ryan Doherty, who lives up in Brunswick now. We still text every day. And we got into this cycle of our first year, we were like excited to be there and everything was good. And we hung out with the guys on our floor. And the second year was kind of like that, but we started to kind of be recluse into our own dorm room. And by our third year of college, we were so into just playing this video game together. Like, that's all we did. And by senior year, like, people didn't even know we still went to school there. Like, Sam didn't know she had a boyfriend. Is that true, honey? Sometimes. Okay. I wasn't all that bad. But seriously, it got to this point where I missed out on so much connection, so much relational connection and investment because I chose to stay isolated and in my room only doing what I wanted to do. And I want to encourage you, don't be like me. Don't do that, because there's such joy, there's such a payoff of blessing that comes from investing in relationships with others. And really, another part of this is we need each other. When we live in isolation, it's no good. We need each other. Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Proverbs 27:17, you've probably heard this one. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, that you may be healed. We weren't ever meant to do life alone. Resist that temptation. Really, the enemy, I believe, comes to tempt us sometimes just to be isolated, to pull ourselves out of situations, to lock ourselves away. But that's one of the worst things we could do. Love the people that God has put in your life. Invest in them with your time, your talent, your treasure, your tears. Maybe you just need to go sit with somebody. Say, "Man, I just need to be around somebody right now." That's the second answer to this question that I'm offering today. Is first, say yes to Jesus. Secondly, invest in relationships. And the third thing that I want to encourage you to do is to never stop growing. We are celebrating our graduating seniors today. We've been talking about that. And it is a big deal. Finishing high school is a big deal, especially over the last couple of years with how weird things have been in and out of school and online. But I just want all of you graduates to hear me that today and this week, your graduation party, this season of life, all of this is really just this launch pad that, like, God is sending you on this incredible path in your life. And as good as it's been, or maybe as bad as it's been, either way, there is so much more to come. And as we go on that journey, I believe that we are never to be done growing spiritually in our walk with God, intellectually in our learning, whether that's in a college or on our own, whatever that is, and even in our emotions and the relational part of our lives, we are never done growing. That's what I think of when I read John 10:10 about living this life to the full. The thief, he wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy, but God calls us to live this life to the fullest. That's our theme verse for Thrive, our youth ministries. When we live that thriving life, it's when we're growing, we're moving forward, we're not turning back. And part of that, too, is one of our measures here at Worcester Nazarene. The measures is part of our vision frame. I'm really trying not to teach the whole basics class right now because I really want you to come. But the measures are things that we say, like, man, this should be showing up in our lives as a person that comes here to Worcester Nazarene, and that measure is genuine. This is having this genuine, teachable spirit, this humble spirit saying, okay, Lord, I want to keep growing. I want to keep moving forward. I want to keep investing in these relationships with you and with other people. And as you go on this journey of growth from here, this season of graduation, forward from today, there's one other thing that, man, I just felt like the Lord was prompting me to share, is that there are difficult things that happen in life. Can anybody relate? Can anybody relate? There's difficult things. They're going to be uncomfortable. And in those moments, there's a choice to be made. We can respond to those difficult situations, and we can choose to do things that make us feel better in the moment. We can choose things that are outside of God's will for our life. Or we can choose to push through towards Jesus and allow him to help us grow through that season. When I think about difficult situations in my life, I think about, I'm probably going to get emotional, so I just apologize now. Just be prepared. I think about me and Sam's journey, my wife Sam, who is almost ready to have a baby again somehow. Well, we'll talk more about that later. So I didn't mean it that way. Pastor, we really need to pray. But right around 2013, 2014, me and Sam started on this journey of trying to start a family. Man, I could use some traveling music, Kathy, wherever you are. Now is a good time. Thank you. There she is. Yes, clap for her. She's amazing. But right around 2013, 2014, we decided to try to start having a family. And it's not always just that easy. And in that process, we had, you know, Sam had initial appointments, and she's told she has this thing called PCOS, and we have no idea what that is. And it's this confusing and just like, what is going on? It's just this struggle. And at the time, we were living up in the Warren Youngstown area. And then we moved back here in December of 2015, and we're living in my parents' attic, and we have two dogs and a toilet in the middle of our room. It's another story. And it's just like, man, this is such a struggle. Our house wasn't selling. We were trying to have a family. And it was just like, this is just not working. Like, God, what is going on here? What is going on here? And so the next year, after 2016 goes, we finally sell our house. We get our own place here in Worcester. It's God's perfect timing. And we're still in the middle of the struggle. We had tried two different OBs here in Worcester, and then we're being told, like, man, the PCOS is gone, that we were seeing a specialist, and we're doing all these appointments. We're driving to Akron and Canton and all over creation, just trying to start a family. We have our house, but we have no family. And then in 2017, I think right around August time, I actually remember specifically the night we were at an Indians game with Pastor and his family. And Sam took me over to the right field corner and she showed me a pregnancy test. She was pregnant. And then a month later, she got a phone call of all things saying that she was going to have a miscarriage. I'll never forget that morning in September when that happened. How much that hurt. Because it was everything we wanted and we lost it in that moment. I remember sitting on Pastor's porch and just crying. But just thinking, God, I want your plan, I want your will, but this hurts so bad. And again, after that, we had a chemical pregnancy. And that same hurt and that same pain is there. And then later on in 2018, we were at the specialist. We're doing these things to try and be pregnant and have help from an incredible medical team. And we got that positive test result again. And then that miracle was born on June 17th of 2019. And I told you at the beginning, little Judah's almost two now. And I just said it a minute ago that we're having another baby, little Emery. She's almost here. And when I look back on that situation, there's one thing that really sticks out to me. Because in the middle of that hurt, in the middle of that pain, I wanted to give up. I know Sam felt like she wanted to give up. But we had somebody in our life that we really respected come alongside of us and say, hey, I know you guys want to give up. I know you want to give in. I know you're tired of this, but I'm challenging you to pray every single night. Get on your knees and pray life over Sam's body. Get on your knees and pray life over your family. Let God breathe life into the situation. And I'm telling you, when we got that positive result for Judah, we had been on our knees for 3 or 4 months straight every single night. And from that point forward to the day he was born, and from that day he was born to every night at bedtime, we've continued to pray and continue to thank and continue to say, Jesus, your plan, your timing is perfect. No matter what. And so you graduating seniors, this is what I've learned, is that when we say yes to Jesus, and when we invest in relationships, and when we never stop growing, when we are living that out, he is faithful every single time to work out all the details of our life just on time. His will is perfect. His way is right. And I said it before, but I'll say it again. He is faithful. And he has something prepared for you that's so much better than you could ever imagine for yourself. Just trust him. Believe in him. Have the faith when life gets hard that God does not change. Just because your circumstance is difficult or just because your circumstance is good, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that is my heart. That is my challenge. That is my charge today. And so with that, I want to invite all of our graduating seniors and your parents, just come up here to the front. It doesn't have to be any specific order. Just come up here, line the front, stand here facing me. You don't have to look out at the crowd. I bear that burden. It's okay. We got some more coming. I know Amelia's here. She's on her way. Yep, just keep lining it. Line the front here. You're good. Y'all are a pretty good looking crew. Man, I'm so proud of you guys. It's awesome to be here long enough to see you grow from early youth group to graduation. And I know I've said these three things today about saying yes to Jesus, investing in relationships, and never stop growing. But there's a fourth and final thing for all of you specifically, seniors standing here, is man, honor your parents. That is one of the best things that I can tell you to do. Honor your parents. I know I joked about it at the beginning. You're 18, you think you're in charge. But man, I'm telling you, that command from the Old Testament is so true in our lives today. When you can honor and love your parents for the rest of your life, that healthy relationship is so valuable. Yes, I battled with my mom for 4 years. She will tell you the stories. But now my mom is the person I talk to on the phone every day. My dad, I talk to him almost every day because he's not good at answering his phone. He's sitting in the back. You can ask him. I love you, Dad. But seriously, love your parents. I can't tell you the emotion of me just telling that story is because I love my Judah so much. I love little Emery so much. And I love the babies that we lost so much. Your parents have this incredible love for you that they could never put into words. And they are so proud of you. And they want the best for you. That's always what they've wanted. They want the best for you. So love and honor your parents. And man, I promise you there's a blessing that comes with that. So in saying all that, I just want to take this opportunity just to pray a prayer of blessing over each one of you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, I believe and I know that God has incredible plans for your life. There's so many different gifts and talents and life paths waiting to launch forward from today. And man, I just can't wait to see what God is going to do. So church family, if you would, just join me and let's pray for our graduating seniors today. Well, Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are God and you are good. I thank you that you do not change no matter the situation or circumstance of our life. And I thank you, Lord, for the incredible plans that you've promised for each one of these graduating seniors. In Ephesians 2:10, you say that they are a masterpiece created for incredible things long, long ago. God, you have plans for their life, for a hope and for a future. And I pray, Jesus, that you would just unlock your plans in their life and that they would run after it. I pray that you would bless them for all the time and the work that they've put in to their studies until now. And Lord, I pray that wherever they go and whatever they do, I pray that they would do it with all of their hearts, that they would live their lives continually every single day saying yes to Jesus, that they would say yes to you and begin that relationship by just confessing with their mouths that you are Lord, believing in their hearts that you have been raised from the dead, and that they would say that yes every single day over and over again. Jesus, I pray that you would help them as they invest in relationships in their lives. I pray, Lord, for future romantic connections, God. I pray that your plan and your purpose would be so clear to them that they would be more in tune with what you are saying than what their friends beside them are saying or what social media is saying or what the world is saying they should do. I pray that they would pray for your plan and your will in their lives as they look towards those relationships. And with friends and family, Lord, I pray that each one of these graduating seniors would be a light in a dark place as they go out into the world and the workplace, as they go to school, as they go to work this fall, whatever they are doing, God, I pray that you would help them to be a light. And I pray, Jesus, that you would help them to never stop growing, that they would continue to invest in the relationship with you by spending time in the Word, by spending time in worship, by spending time in prayer, but also continuing to push themselves to learn, to grow, to go deeper. And Jesus, I pray that when the difficult situations of life come, when things get tough, I pray, God, that it wouldn't be a 180 away from you, but I pray that it would be a full sprint into your arms. I pray that they would press through. I pray that they would push through and that you would bring incredible growth and incredible testimony and that you would show them, Jesus, that the difficult things of their life are so that they can grow and that they can transform and that they can continue to move forward and help others along the journey. So Jesus, I pray a special blessing on each one individually, that you would unlock your plans in their life, that you would keep them safe, healthy, and whole, and that wherever they go, whatever they do, that your hand would be upon them. So Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Man, can we congratulate our graduating seniors one more time? Make sure to see me out in the foyer right after today. You all can go back and grab your seats. I just wanted to say one more thing before I wrapped up today. This is kind of a shameless plug, but as I've talked about these three things today, maybe some of you caught it, maybe some of you didn't, but saying yes to Jesus, investing in relationships, and never stop growing, man, that's really what we're all about here at Worcester Nazarene. Loving God, loving people, and living transformed. And when we are in that continual motion, God is so faithful to push us right back from that living transformed. We keep loving God more. We keep loving people more, and we become more and more transformed. He's literally changing the way we think and the way we act in that process. So I encourage you, wherever you are on that journey today, man, say yes to Jesus. Invest in those relationships, and man, never stop growing. Amen.